Joining us, Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. Joe, good morning and welcome. Happy Monday.
Good morning.
So let's start off talking about the trial that no one is covering, that no one is talking about, and that would be the trial of one Senator Menendez of New Jersey. What happened this past week?
Basically, the trial has become about the federal judge, William Walls, interjecting himself into the case regularly, denouncing both defense attorneys and prosecutors for overreaching in what they try to say in front of the jury. But one of the more fascinating things that happened this week was a Ukrainian-born model was called by the government to be a witness against Menendez, and she ended up setting the courtroom in rails of laughter and actually undercutting the government's purpose for calling her. She basically said, "I don't know why I'm here, and I don't know why this is such a big deal." And the judge actually agreed with her. It's been a fascinating display of sort of all the bad things you think about when you have corruption trials, most especially because it's occurring in Newark, New Jersey, of all places. So there we are. We have a sitting Democratic senator, Menendez, accused of bribery with a guy who's already pleaded guilty, an eye doctor from Florida named Solomon Melgen, who is alleged to have bribed the senator with airplane trips, hotel stays, and women. The judge thinks the stuff about the women is kind of foolish and doesn't think it's a very big deal.
You know, but Joe, as I'm watching this, it seems like the case hinges on the distinction between whether or not they're simply good friends or whether or not there is money being exchanged for government favors. Either way, it seems like Menendez went out of his way to help Melgen possibly bilk the taxpayer out of millions of dollars. And meanwhile, Melgen's been giving all of these lavish gifts to the senator. Does that distinction really matter of whether or not they're sincere friends?
Yes, it does. If the jury believes that they were only friends, and this was stuff that he would have done for anybody, but most especially for him, they could find no criminal intent. In other words, you have to act corruptly under this bribery statute. Your intent has to be corrupt. And if they think that they were just friends, no matter how ugly it is, a la the McDonald case, no matter how stupid and gross Maureen McDonald's gift-getting was, and no matter how gross this may be, the jury could find that there was no corrupt intent and therefore in it. The problem for Senator Menendez is that when he took a lot of this stuff, he didn't report it on his Senate disclosure forms. And he only reported the airplane trips after they were reported in the media. And these were trips worth tens of thousands of dollars. So Menendez's problem is, and it's pretty clear, by the way, that they were friends. I mean, they traveled around the world together, South America, Europe. You know, they had girlfriends all over the place. And it may very well be that the jury may think that this is the kind of a lifestyle that a senator who is single, I mean, Menendez was not a married man while all this was occurring. I think he's divorced. May think that this is just okay. It's really the only defense that the defense has, which is that they were friends. And he may just, you know, he only has to convince one juror that the government has overreached.
But lying about the number of trips taken is suggestive that the senator did not think that this was on the up and up, that he realized that this looked like quid pro quo explicitly.
Yeah, and that is the biggest problem for their defense, is the fact that the senator did not report any of these gifts from Melgen on his Senate financial disclosure forms. And that is a separate crime. If you do that knowingly and willfully and with an intent to hide information from the public, that is a separate crime. I mean, but it's not a big one. It's one of the minimal things. But everything else that went along with this, again, this is the worst evidence against him, the fact that he did not report these gifts. That's a big deal. That may be enough to convince the jury that he was corrupt. And he knew it, as you had just said, and that's why he didn't report it.
One last question on this. The doctor was convicted of defrauding Medicare of almost $9 million.
Right.
Did Menendez play into that at all? How does he get wrapped up in that, if he is?
Well, because what he did was, along with the help of Harry Reid, when Harry Reid was minority leader and majority leader, Menendez actually interceded with the Department of Health and Human Services on Melgen's behalf to try and get certain things stopped, certain investigations by Medicare and Medicaid services into Melgen's practices. He went to Harry Reid and got Harry Reid to set up a meeting with the then Secretary of HHS, Catherine Sebelius, and they actually met, and she rejected Menendez's request that she intercede in Dr. Melgen's case. So there's plenty of evidence here that Menendez took official acts on behalf of Melgen.
Okay.
And the question really would be whether or not the jury thinks that's enough.
All right. Let's move on to something that Dianne Feinstein said on CNN on the State of the Union yesterday.
Yes.
She said that this investigation into Russia could go on for a year and a half, if not more. How is this continuing if so far we haven't heard anything that's there? What have they come across that justifies this?
Because Republicans do not know how to govern. They don't know how to conduct oversight, and they've allowed Democrats to take over the United States Senate in toto. The Democrats now run the Senate. They get what they want because of incompetent Republican leadership. Senator Burr, who is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has allowed this to get out of hand in order to make Mark Warner feel good, this know-nothing nitwit from Virginia, United States Senator, a Democrat. And what you have going on here is the Republicans do not know how to message, they do not know how to conduct oversight, and they would rather just allow this to go along because they don't want to appear to be defending Trump. Most of these guys up there don't like Trump, and they're going to pay a dear price for it in the long run. It's just when you sit back and you watch incompetent oversight, and you watch the Republicans unable to mouth a compound sentence about a subject that makes sense over an extended period of time and repeat it with sincerity, when you see how failing they are in the ability to communicate with the American people, you know why Dianne Feinstein can go on television and say this investigation into Russia is going to last a year and a half. And the reason is she'll get no pushback from anybody on the Republican side because they are idiots.
Now, meanwhile, you've got Robert Mueller, who's pursuing this investigation, and he's picked yet another Clinton-Obama donor to join the Russia probe team. Does that mean anything to you? It seems like so many of these people are donors. Is that just a standard operating procedure? If you're going to be a lawyer, you donate to Obama?
Well, here's the thing about Mueller. Who knows what his motivations are? I mean, he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's a blank slate sphinx. He's a very close friend of Comey. He's a friend of a whole bunch of people that are currently in the Justice Department. The bottom line is this. He obviously could care less about the appearances of what his investigation looks like, given the number of Democratic lawyers who are donors to Hillary and Obama. I do not know how. I was an independent counsel. I conducted an investigation into the Bush 1 State Department and White House over leaking Bill Clinton's passport file.
Yes.
I hired one or two Democrats. I hired one or two Republicans. And I made sure I knew what party they were so that I would have even Steven. It's quite obvious to me that Mueller doesn't care, doesn't know, and it is absolutely insensitive to the appearances of this. That's disgraceful. He ought to be ashamed of himself. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference because nobody cares. And the Justice Department is out to lunch on this because they've recused themselves from involvement in it. And no matter what they say about they can tell Mueller what to do. They technically may be able to, but they'll never touch him.
All right, we've got a lot more to ask Joe DiGenovo, so he's going to stick around with us here. We're going to go to traffic now, though.
And we're joined by Joe DiGenova, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Joe, want to touch on this Debbie Wasserman Schultz investigation, yet another investigation that no one is talking about in Washington. We're starting to learn a little bit more. We know that there are rumors going around that Awan left her laptop to be found along with a copy of his Pakistani ID, copies of his driver's license, his congressional badge. And also information is coming out now, according to a House official told Circa, that Awan was allegedly uploading terabits of information to a Dropbox. So he was possibly able to access the information even after he was banned from the network. No one's talking about this. This is huge. Could it have been the Pakistanis that hacked the DNC and not the Russians?
Who knows at this point? We know so little about this investigation because very little has become public since the arrest of Awan. We know that his wife is making arrangements to return from Pakistan after having fled there, after having drawn about $400,000 in cash from a credit union, something I've never seen anybody do, get a wire transfer overseas to a terrorist country. What you have here is a collection of things involving corruption, incompetence, and fear. And the fear is from people in law enforcement. Because they don't want to go too far. But the truth is, right here, there's enough evidence for a federal grand jury. I'm sure there is one, because obviously people have been charged with crimes, and it needs to go deeper. Whether or not that will occur remains to be seen, but there is a tremendous amount of information here that indicates that some foreign power was involved in this. There's more evidence of foreign power involvement in this than there is in the Russian probe.
It's a sort of bizarre thing. I mean, the idea that this guy would be, or and his family would be, freelancing all of this, and yet somehow Debbie Wasserman Schultz has kept him around. In the end, if some sort of, you know, if a real criminal case is brought against this guy, I mean, it's entirely plausible, right, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz might get drawn into it.
Well, she'll certainly be a witness, because one of the items that's involved in the theft of information and the alleged embezzlement of money is her computer. And she'll have to testify about that and what she did or didn't do. Whether or not she was willfully or knowingly involved in assisting him is another question. We have no evidence at this point other than she has acted bizarrely in not firing him, in protecting him from alleged Islamophobia, which is why she didn't fire him. She wanted to be fair. She waited until he was arrested and indicted before she fired him. So a lot of questionable activity about her. But again, you know, people sometimes are very stupid, no matter how nasty and mean they are, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who appears to be a very smart person. But you can still be stupid when you're that nasty.
All right, let me ask you, we'll shift gears to a local story here, one of a lot of fascination, and I think maybe an increasing trend around the country. In College Park, Maryland, last week, the city council voted to move to basically make it so non-citizens could vote. They had a 4-3 vote, and they said non-citizens can vote. Now we find out over the weekend that they couldn't do that. The city's charter says that they need 6 votes in order to make that change, and they didn't have that. So this close to seeing non-citizens voting in College Park, turns out the vote failed. What do you make of all that?
Well, it's a trend in the United States. There are a lot of liberal small communities, particularly in California and Oregon and Washington, and Maryland has a number of communities that allow non-citizens to vote in municipal and village elections. Maryland is a lefty state. Maryland is California of the East. A lot of wacky people. College Park is, as you know, a college community, typical lefty, nutso. The fact that they couldn't remember that they amended their own charter to require 6 votes, they did that in June. Now, let's see, we're in September. That was a millennium ago. So, you know, they forgot. But, I mean, what you have here are, this is, if you listen to the debate on this issue and listen to the morons who got up and spoke in favor of this, it really shows you that when ideology takes over, the brain shuts down. And what went on in College Park was an example of what's wrong, not only wrong with college communities, but with college in general and little municipalities who want to be, this is the mouse that roared. This is an example of what happens when a country thinks it can beat when a small town believes that it can change the world. Nothing wrong with feeling that way, but when you do it, you could at least do it by the rules, which of course they didn't do.
Yeah, and you look at California. California may become a sanctuary state, so I guess they don't have rules in California that would prevent
that. I
wish
they would secede and become their own country. It would be so wonderful to lose those 54 Congress people from California.
But they can't, because they need our money.
Yeah, well, they're expecting a bailout. Jerry Brown made clear a very long time ago that their unfunded pension liability and everything associated with their debt is going to be handled by the United States government. In other words, there's a Democratic state that wants to be bailed out. Illinois is another Democratic state that wants to be bailed out. It's endless.
Well, maybe we can start sending them foreign aid eventually.
Yes.
All right, well, Joe DeGeneva, thank you very much. Really appreciate you stopping by Mornings on the Mall yet again.
You bet.
Talk to you next week, sirs.